praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shall we close our eyes? My sins are gone far away. Jesus has taken all my burdens away. Once I was a stranger, so when we come to church, it's like the most boring day of the month. Everything is slow, everything is lands, everything is hymns. But I don't want you to look at this today and see it is a tradition, and see it is just a normal routine. It is just for the people who are baptized. It is just we come here and we sing praises, we sing hymns. We don't play the drums. We don't do that. All this boring stuff. I want you to see that as the undeserved love of God for you and I. That is the grace and favor of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's because of that that you and I are sitting here dressed up to praise God and to thank God. Amen.
Amen.
So today I just want you to I just want to challenge you that you shouldn't see this as just a decorated table. Do not see that as just a tradition for only baptized people, like I already said, or people who gather around these elders and deacons and deaconesses just gather around and they pray. Don't just look at it like that. See it as something greater. Amen.
Amen.
Something wonderful that you and I can partake in. Amen.
Amen.
Today I'm speaking on a message that I've entitled, What Stops Me? Or What Can Stop Me? Amen.
Amen.
We are going to read a lot. So I want you to take your Bible. Open to me to our first reading. Luke chapter 15, chapter 14, verse number 15 to 24. Luke chapter 14, verse 15 to 24. Are you there? So that I can read. Luke chapter 14, I'll read. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At that time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who have been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I just bought a field or a land, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I cannot come.' The servants came back and reported to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' Then the master told his servants, 'Go out to the road and the country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Amen.
Amen.
This passage that we just read is a great man, maybe a rich man, a king or something. He's having a feast, he's having a party in his house. And he sent invitations to every great person in the city. Let's say the most famous person or the richest person in the Ghana community is having a party, so he's inviting people. Of course, he will invite the ambassador, he will invite many pastors, many artists, he will even invite MOG to come as well. He will invite you to come. But then what if the day is near or the day arrives and the man, you see, Ghanaians, they always want to make an entrance. They want people to lead them. But then when he gets there, nobody is at the party. Nobody is at the zaal. Nobody is there in the hall. Can you picture the type of stress that man will get? He will be sweating, be like, "Where is everybody? Where is my party?" So when nobody was there, this man sent his servants, "Go out there and bring me people. People I did not invite." We all have our people that we invite to our parties. But when trouble comes and when your people are not showing up, you have to go and beg for other people to show up. Amen. You see, these people, the people that make excuses. One said, "I bought a land. I have to go and see it." You cannot buy a land without seeing it first. You cannot buy 5 oxen without even seeing it or trying them. You cannot buy a Mercedes without having a test drive first. And you are married, so you want to stay in the room with your wife the whole time, that you don't have time to go to this party. So you and I can agree on that their excuses were not legit. Amen. They could have canceled their plans to be at this party. They could have put aside their responsibilities and just one day, some hours spent with this man. But they made excuses. "I have this, I have that, I cannot make it." They chose their own desire. Because of that, the master was left with no other choice or option than to send his people out to the field to go and search for any person who is willing to come to the feast. Amen. You see, but when you bring it to the spiritual aspect, you see, the spiritual way, Jesus was actually talking about himself. Jesus Christ was sent by God, the Messiah, to come and save the people from their sin, from their works of life. You see, the Israelites are God's chosen people. But when Jesus came, they saw Jesus be like, "How can our Savior, first of all, be born in a manger, like that place, that dirty place? How can the one who says he is the Messiah be talking to prostitutes on the street? How can somebody who says he was there before Abraham, you see, before Abraham cried, I was or I am, no? How can this person be disobeying the law of Moses, which said you shouldn't work on the Sabbath day or anything? How can this man, this Messiah, this Savior, be doing all this stuff? So the Israelites did not believe him. They did not trust him. Amen. And that is where grace found you and I. Amen. We were not among them. We were not among. But the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Amen. We were out there, and grace and favor found us. Jesus came for his people. We were living our sin. Like somebody said, we are in Africa, worshiping the gods and everything. The boom was just singing the song, Albert was singing the tune. And I was like, it just came to my head. That is grace. If it wasn't for God, would the boom be singing this song in G? No? No. But it's the grace of God and the favor of God that has found us. Amen. Do not, my goodness, don't let us be like these Israelites. We are invited to a great banquet. What is stopping you? Like those people, what that thing that stopped them were not good reasons. Were not good reasons. What is stopping you today? But I don't want you to just focus on what is stopping you from coming here, but what is stopping you from achieving your dreams? What is stopping you from living a good life? What is stopping you from becoming who God has told you to be? That is what you have to think about. What stops me? What can stop me? You see, you are destined for greatness, and nothing should stop you. I remember Edward Buffo was preaching here one day, and he said, as a footballer, the goal post is there, and you have to dribble and go and score. The other team will try to bring you down. They will follow you, they will do a lot of stuff, but you have to stand up and keep going until you score. Because when you draw or you don't score, that means you have lost. Amen. So you have to reach your goal. So what is stopping you? Think about that. All the things that you want to do in your life, what is it that is stopping you? Amen. Yes, also. You see, just like the same thing, the Israelites rejected their leader, their savior, their master, and he became, how do you say it, important for other people, for you and I. And that is why we worship him. The Israelites are still waiting for their savior. They will still stay there. The Jews are still waiting for their savior. They will still stay there till Christ come again and take us away. Oh my God. And then you and I will be going to rejoice. And we'll be like, oh my God. Had I known. Amen. Amen. You see, one thing that we can also learn is from the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. We're going to read another passage. Can we please open our Bible to Acts chapter 8? Acts chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Uh-huh. A great morning, actually, and that doesn't matter. Acts chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. I want you to understand the whole story, that's why we are reading so long. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. I read. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasuries of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from them." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Or in other words, "What stops me from being baptized?" Amen. Amen. Close your Bible. An eunuch is somebody who works in the palace of a queen. This one was very important. He was the treasurer. This church, the most important person here, I always say, is Angus. He keeps the money. If he eats the money or spend the money in an unlawful way, we will beat him. Amen. So he had all the money. And this Ethiopian eunuch came all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God. Amen. And when he was going back home, maybe he bought, you know, that in the olden days, they didn't have the whole Bible. They had every book aside. So he was reading the one of Isaiah. And then God, the Spirit of God, told Philip, Apostle Philip, "Go there and help him out." When Philip got there, he asked the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man said, "How can I if nobody explains it to me?" So I want you to think about this. Is it or can it be that sometimes we read some things that we do not understand? Mind you, this man was coming from church and he was reading the Bible with no understanding. Can it be that we come to church, we worship, we praise God, we do things when we don't even understand what we are doing? Or we come to the Lord's Supper and we don't even understand what this means? So many things we do and we don't even understand why, how, and what we are doing. So I want you to take something from this Ethiopian eunuch, what he did. He put his pride aside. In spite of him being the most important man in Ethiopia, he said, "I don't understand." Some of us, we cannot say, "I don't understand." We can't even say, "I don't know." You know, but you don't know. You want to do everything, but you don't know. When an elder comes to you, "Do you know how to do this?" "I don't know." And then they will teach you. "Yes, I know." And then you come and then you will disgrace yourself. Maybe you wanted to do it good, but come on. Ask, like the Bible says, and it shall be given unto you. If you don't know anything, don't hide it. Don't be like, "No, I cannot do it. No, I don't know how to." Ask. People are here to help you. Nobody knows everything. Right? Somebody asked me something from Revelations, and I said, "I don't know. I have to go back home, read it, pray, and maybe fast, because this one is too much for me." Simple. You don't put yourself in problem, and then you'll be explaining some things that you don't even know, and then you are leading that person astray. Amen. make something from this man. He didn't know, so the Ethiopian, you know, explained it to him. He explained it. And as they came to the water, I don't know if he taught him something about baptism, but I do know that Jesus said, go into the nations, whoever will believe, baptize him in the name of the Lord, the Father, and the Son. Amen. So when this man had heard the message and they got to the water, he said, so what stopped me from being baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized? The water is here. You are an apostle. What stops me? What stops me? Amen. Most of us have to ask ourselves these questions. You want to become great. You want to do something. What stops you? You want to pass your exam, but the thing stopping you is that you are not learning. I know new series have come, new episodes. Empire is back. You'll be watching Empire, son. But come on. Ask yourself, what is stopping me? Amen. You see, there are always people or something that will try to stop you. That story about the man who was giving the party, the banquet, and was doing great, he invited people, and none of them showed up. So in a way to cover up the disgrace that his friends has brought about him, he said, go out there. Bring in the sick. Bring in the poor. Bring in the crippled. Bring in everybody you find on the streets. Let them come and fill my house. That's the same thing that Jesus told the disciples when he was leaving. Like I just said, go into the world. People are there with pain. People are there with sorrows. People don't know what they do. I know people who can't even sleep. They will cry the whole night. And we are here. What is stopping us from preaching the gospel to them? What stops us from giving and helping hand to them? Like last week, they went and we came to prayer gathering. We heard we should help other people. Don't think about ourselves all the time, but pray for others as well. Help others out. What stops you from being a good person? What stops you from coming to partake in the glorious banquet of the Lord? If you become like the Jews, not Jews, but the Jews, and we reject the offer that is given unto us, other people out there are going to take it, and we will be lost out. Amen. You see, yesterday, when we were in Central, Pastor teaching, as he said something, and made me think, I have to give a testimony. Amen. You see, when I made up my mind that God opened a way for me to go to Britain to study, I didn't even know where Wolverhampton was. I don't know how I chose that school. I don't know. Everything happened in like 3 days. You're accepted, so I had to rush. I didn't even know where I was going. I took the plane. I got there. I'm like, I'm going to Wolverhampton. And then they said, go here, go there, go there. I sit in the train, looking outside every stop. Don't know where I'm going. But I got there. People who are on my Snapchat, they know that my place where I live, the corridor where I live, is the best place or campus. You see crazy people over there. You see all this stuff happening in my corridor. So everybody comes to my kitchen all the time because I'm free. Everybody comes to my kitchen all the time to have fun, to eat as well. But one day I was in my kitchen with some two girls and a guy, a friend of mine. And then they said, we always see you going to church. Why don't we start a Bible studies thing here? At first I told them no, because I know myself. First, I don't know how to speak. If I am teaching you something and you don't understand, I will stress you out. Like, don't you understand this, that, and that? That's me. See? And then they kept pressuring me, and I told them, okay, cool, we are going to start something. So I went to the school, the big people, they gave us a big room like this to start our Bible studies. Three people, that we were just three people. Hallelujah. And before I came, amen. Now we are more than 35 to 40 people. We started with just three people. But the good news is that every Wednesday from 6 to 7:30, we do our Bible studies. And one day I was teaching them who is a Christian. And then you see questions will come. So you say you are a Christian and you never share your food. I'm like, I am always hungry. I cannot share with you. They wanted to provoke me all the time. But then a girl came that day with two girls. I've seen them on campus all the time. They are Muslims. They come there all the time. I've seen them on campus, but that day they came to the Bible studies and were teaching how to be a Christian. And then they were there, they don't say anything. The second week they came, they didn't say anything. The third week, they asked so many questions. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know everything in the Bible, but these girls kept pressuring and I spent some time with them. Cool. We did it. And then our last day, you know, I had a banquet as well, a party, small get together. Everybody was eating, drinking, because we have done our exams. Everybody was about to go home. I'll see them in 4 or 5 months' time. So after the party, I went to my room to pack my bag. I was there, and I hear a knock on my door. I opened it. There were three girls, Michelle and the two Muslims. And so I thought they were just coming there to sit there. So I brought them to my kitchen. We are sitting there. Then one girl, the Muslim, just told me, I want to get baptized. I look at her like, what? She's like, I want to get baptized. And that is why I put that thing there, the title. She looked at me and she asked me, what stops you from baptizing me? And I was looking at her like, what? I told her, do you know what can happen to you? She said, what stops you from baptizing me? I just said, I am not a pastor. I can't baptize people. She said, oh, I hear you always go to the church. Can't they baptize us there? I said, us. That means the other girl was a mom too. She wanted to get baptized as well. So I was there. I thought they were making a joke. But then I left it. The following day, I went to do some shopping. I went to do some shopping as I was coming back to my place with some shortbread and to give to people. They saw me again and they said, have you spoken to your pastor about the baptism? I thought they were joking. So I called my pastor and he said, you know Ghana for? Yeah, we have to book the swimming pool and this and that. And I said, they are Muslims, eh? When I said they are Muslims, he said, okay, hey. When I said they were Muslims, they said, he said, okay, then let me call Elder this one and then I'll call you back. That evening, you know, we have bought a new church. So on the platform, they have made a swimming pool on the platform. Yeah. They have covered it. So that's where I go to church. So that evening, we all went there and they baptized the girls in the swimming pool over there. Just there on the ground. And I was standing there like, oh my God. What if I have let all my fears and all my insecurities stop me from starting this movement on campus? Maybe these girls wouldn't have been saved, but I don't know. So my question or my thing to you is, you are going to be everywhere. You are going to go places. Don't let anything stop you from proclaiming the word of God. Amen. You don't know what can happen if you open your mouth. Don't keep quiet. Don't ever keep quiet. Don't let anything or anybody stop you. But keep trusting God and do the will of God. And you will see great things that is happening. Amen. The Muslim girls, I speak to them. They told me, we have a surprise for you when we come back. I'm going back next week, so I want to see that surprise. Maybe their father is a Muslim, is Christian, or I don't know. But we are hoping. Or maybe they are beating them at home, I don't know. But we are hoping for the best. Amen. Amen. You don't ask questions, later you ask me. Amen. So my question to you here right now, what stops you? What stops you? What stops you from partaking today? What stops you from being baptized? What stops you from going back to school? What stops you from being a good child? Your parents tell you things. What stops you from listening? If there is anything, let it go. What stops you from being a loving person? Let everything go. And the Lord Jesus Christ will bless you. Amen.
Amen.
So it is my prayer that the peace and the understanding of God will rest upon you all. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.